Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
Good morning, and welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. I'm Robin.
And I'm Pranjali, and I'm so glad to be talking here. I know it's been a while, but, you know, the classes have started again, and it's a whole lot of things going on in my mind. But I do love radio, so, you know, I just want to grab every opportunity that I can to talk about something interesting. And thanks so much for having me, I guess.
Thanks for joining me today for the conversation that we're going to have. It's kind of funny because, you know, before the previous show ended, Wings, we had a moment just to say, oh my goodness, do you feel prepared? It's a bit of a heady topic, mm-hmm. that we're about to dive into, and something that I had shared with Pranjali maybe a week or so ago, because I had been introduced to it through a talk that I had listened to, and it really spurred my imagination. So hopefully it'll spur your imagination too, even though we're maybe not quite academically in engaged in the way that we might want to be.
Absolutely. So. And I think, yeah, I just wanted to like put out there that like we are not the experts on this topic. We're just like trying to understand it and like open up this topic and concept for like conversations, and you know, just try to understand and grapple with this concept. So necessarily it is not like academically or like, you know, an expert advice or like nuanced understanding, but it's just more like, you know, trying to understand what it means and what it implies maybe for us. So yeah,
exactly. So the topic is body lore, and we'll get into what that actually means in terms of a short definition and how we might begin to approach this. But let's start with a song, and we can just sort of get ourselves settled in a little bit to what we're doing. When I Googled, because I do like to play songs that are somewhat thematic to the topic, and I Googled songs about the body or something like that, and I got a couple of hits for India Ari, and I'm thrilled to be able to play anything by her. We're going to hear the track that they recommended called Video, and this is it here on Intravenous.
Sometimes I shave my legs and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I comb my hair and sometimes I won't. Depending on how the wind blows, I might even paint my toes. It really just depends on whatever feels good in my soul.
I'm not the average girl from your video, and I think you look like a supermodel, but
be. And I know my creator didn't make no mistakes on me. My feet, my thighs, my lips, my eyes, I'm loving what I see. And I think I was good on the video. And I can't do like a supermodel, but I learned to love myself unconditionally. She knows, but I've drawn the conclusion it's all an illusion. Confusion's the name of the game. A misconception, a mass deception. Something's got to change. Don't be offended. This is all my opinion. Ain't nothing that I'm saying, Lord. This is a true confession of a life learned lesson. I was sent here to share with y'all. So get in where you fit and go on to shine. Your mind, now's the time. Put your salt on the shelf. Go on and love yourself, cause everything's gonna be alright. Not the average girl from your video. I don't need that to have a good time. Keep your expensive car and your caviar. All I need is my guitar. Keep your crystal and your pistol. I'd rather have a pretty piece of crystal. Don't need your silicone. I prefer my own. What God gave me is just fine.
India Ari from Acoustic Soul with a track called Video. And if you were listening to the lyrics of the song there, it did hook us into what we're going to talk about today, which is the body and the mythology of how we wear our bodies and the ways that we, you know, decorate them and ornament them and present them to the world around us, but also to ourselves. And what that begins to start to mean in terms of our understandings of ourselves and other folks' understandings of who we are, because you know, the visual impression, I guess, is the sort of first and foremost as we interact with folks around us. We make a lot of sort of snap judgment calls about who people are based on the ways that that mythology presents itself. And so I was introduced to this idea of body lore by a couple of women who have their PhDs in fairy tales and folklore, and I was listening to them speak, and they were talking about specifically, you know, sort of personalizing what it was that we loved. Well, they were encouraging the listeners to really get into what they loved to wear and the things that really, you know, lit us up when we put them on, you know, if it was a piece of clothing or jewelry or, you know, something of the past. Maybe we don't wear those kind of clothes anymore because we don't feel like they fit our age or, you know, whatever. And this whole idea of, you know, what it is that I wear and why it is that I choose to wear it or I don't choose to wear it really became kind of a fascination for quite a time. And the reason why I sent you, Pranjali, the article and the idea that maybe this would be a really good topic to try to dig into and explore.
I guess when you were like even trying to define the theme for today, I had like so many different ideas and directions, you know, where I could lead this conversation to. But I think I will start by thinking about and talking about this idea of, you know, carrying yourself. So the idea of the self and the body. I think a lot of like literature has been done around that and how it's like depicted in the movies. So, you know, how you're represented on the screen and how it's like there is always like this is a I'm going to break down a concept which we talk about in communication theory. And I'm not an expert on that at all because, yeah, my sort of work is on like digital side of things. But I think an important idea about thinking about the body is from within and from the perspective of the other. So this idea that there is a phenomena called the gaze, which happens all the time. So that can be external, which means people are looking at you and you are trying to, you know, think about consciously about that gaze and perhaps you're dressing or you're like putting outfits and you're carrying yourself and your like body language or body attire. So it can depend on this sort of like an external gaze, but there is also this idea that is called the I don't think it's called internal gaze, but that's what I'm going to say to explain it, which is this idea that it is a thought from within that you try to be or try to portray yourself as something. So that is the inner work that is happening, and that is the sort of the gaze that you are working on. So I think in terms of how you and how the concept of body lore comes into conversation is also about how you are experiencing yourself as a person, but also in relation to others around you. And I think this mini passage that you shared with me had really rich concepts. It tried to really bring this idea of, you know, body lore being the personification of the self. And what does it even mean to be a self? And I can't stop, but I think it in the terms of like the digital presence and how it means and how has it shifted. It's not necessarily very new. It's more so recycled in the way that we are asked to portray ourselves on the media side, social media, where we are all the time. So I think I'll just hold off the digital side of conversations, but try to like, you know, get your views on what you understood for the concept of the body lore. What does it mean? So,
yeah. I like that you brought up the gaze. I was trying to find out the fellow who wrote the book where he was addressing the gaze through art and in art history, where, you know, typically, as you mentioned, Pranjali, the gaze has always been from the observer to the woman in the painting, right? And that male gaze is dictating, you know, what the action is and the subjugation of the painting. John something is. Anyways, it'll come to me. Google wasn't cooperating, but there's been a lot of, feminist discussion and criticism and history and all of that kind of stuff taken around it. But it definitely has a lot to do with, I think, what we're talking about here today. The article that I found, it's actually not so much an article as an introduction to an academic paper that was written by Catherine Young, who sort of coined the term body lore. And the introduction starts with a quote from John McAloon that says, "The body has a history. It is no less a cultural construction than it is a work of art, a philosophical text, or system of table manners." And I really love that, because, yeah, when I think about my own sort of body and the experience of this body moving through the world as it does, it has a huge history of taking up space and place and, experiences. And I have scars and I have, you know, all of these things that tell a story of where I've been and what's happened to me. But I've also had, because I was born into this body, certain conventions and expectations of what that body does and how it responds and how it is supposed to show up in the world that are completely socially constructed, and that become, and this was part of what the fairy tale doctors were talking about, is that, you know, when we hear things enough times, we start to believe them, not as fairy tales or mythology, but we start to believe them as you know, sort of God-given truth or goddess-given truths, and that we can challenge these truths and these conventions by changing what that lore, what that story is that we tell about ourselves and our bodies, partly by changing the way we dress or by adorning ourselves in different ways, but also by moving our bodies in a different way. And there's, you know, umpteen fields of studies like Feldenkrais and the Alexander technique and these different ways of moving our bodies that kind of trigger our brain to think, wait a minute, we're not who we think we are, right? And so it's so, like, there's so many little threads of complexities, I think, when we start to really try to unravel what it is that the body not only represents, but what it holds for us, both personally and as a collective.
I think one of the sentences in the reading that you sent, that really clearly sums up what you just said, in my opinion, was the sentence, which is, I'm just going to quote, "The body is not simply inscribed into its discourses, it takes up its discourses." So this idea that how you define your body and how you sort of understand and present and move through it is not necessarily something that you do consciously, and it's, you know, you're just following a discourse. It takes up space, and it's like, you know, it's in the present. So I guess I don't think I'm doing justice to the author here, but I think it's very rich to think about it also in terms of things like, you know, the photograph and, you know, the things that we call selfie, which try to capture these moments and capture these discourses of the body and how it used to be so different in the olden times when we had this whole, you know, curtain thing and then, you know, the lights and how that was so different and how that was still has its like connotations being carried around today in terms of like carrying the moment and capturing, you know, the not just what you're wearing, not just the colors that you're adorning on your body, but also the things that are being situated, the props in the room or the people in the picture or things like that, and that being captured by a film reel and all those pixels. And, you know, and for today, for example, we have like so many different apps to, you know, sort of beautify and to enhance, you know, the photos, to, you know, alter them and cut them, crop them. And we have so many different options. And now, and I think I was in a class yesterday and one of our like colleagues there brought in this idea that even this idea of photography and how we understand has changed because of things like the new technology, like the AI, which, and this idea of like having those tools, you know, sometimes when we capture a photo and they're like, there's like a small little box which says, do you want to add the flashlight to it? Do you want to, you know, increase the brightness of the screen? And all these prompts make us think, and they should make us think, that our interactions with ourselves and with the machine and with the whole, like, our presence in the room has changed and shifted. And I think that is a really, really cool, interesting extension of the argument that the author makes in this idea of the body lore and being present as a self.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it made sense.
It makes as much sense as her academic, very academic introduction to the paper that she wrote, which I will also post in the show notes for the archive of this program. If you're curious to actually read and, you know, get your mind right into the nitty gritty of the academic language used to describe what she's theorizing here. I think that we'll pause and have another song break. Just thinking about what you were, you know, talking about in terms of the digital world, and you know, that original song that we heard to open the show, called Video, and India Ari is you know, talking about how, you know, when we sort of show up online, right? Are we going to shave our legs? Are we going to do our hair? Are we going to do all of these things that, you know, if you came to see us watching TV on the couch, you might not think it's the same person, because we look differently, right? We didn't put our fancy nails on, and we didn't put our fancy bejewels on, and those kinds of things. We're in our plaid furry sweatpants.
Love them. And they're like, there's a bowl full of potato chips. And yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's our system of table manners, mm-hmm. that also shift and change, depending on what sort of accoutrements we're wearing. You know,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't necessarily think of putting a napkin on our lap.
Never. I would never.
To eat potato chips on the couch, right? But if we're, you know, at the dinner table with, you know, the silverware all in the right places and the wine goblets for red wine and white wine and water all in the right places, then it becomes a different story and how we move becomes a different story that we're telling to ourselves and to each other. So we're going to hear a track now. This is from that same recommended playlist, Chaka Khan, and I Am Every Woman, here on Intravenous Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University atop Burnaby Mountain. Chaka Khan, I Am Every Woman, here on Intravenous. And I'm Robin.
And I'm Pranjali. And we're talking about the concept of body lore, and we're trying to understand it together. And I think just before the song break, we were talking about, you know, this idea of digitization. But Robin just was like, no.